Raise your hand if you like the cold. Okay, now raise your hand if you don't live up north and you still like the cold. I live in Maryland, a state that typically has four seasons and many different weather patterns. There's a saying in Maryland that if you don't like the weather today, don't worry, it'll be completely different tomorrow. Me? I was born in Southern California, and I still prefer warmth over cold. But living on the East Coast for many decades, I've learned to appreciate the cold, especially when it snows and I can click on my boots for a day of skiing. Off the slopes, I want to be warm, like cozy next to the fireplace warm. So I get it when I go out and see people looking warm and comfy in their wool jacket or wool sweater. Using sheep hair for warmth and clothing is nothing new. It's been done for thousands of years. Wool provides excellent protection not only from the cold, but wet weather as well. Wool is also a very durable fiber, so it can withstand the harsh winter elements as well as multiple washes. It's also flame resistant. According to the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, wool-lined suits are worn by race car drivers to reduce their chances of being burned in a crash. Wool continues to be a significant commodity in the U.S. and abroad. Did you know that a single sheep can produce 8 to 10 pounds of wool a year? And 1 pound of wool can make 10 miles of yarn. Not only is wool functional and great at keeping the body warm, but it continues to be a fashion trend, especially sweaters and jackets made from natural wool fibers. A white wool sweater never seems to go out of style. However, the problem with wool is that it could yellow over time, especially when exposed to sunlight for long periods.
The yellowing has been a long-term problem for wool users. You buy a wool garment that's white, and you wear it for several years, and it's going to be yellow.
That's Eleanor Brown, researcher for ARS, who's now retired. Brown worked at ARS's Eastern Regional Research Center in Windmore, Pennsylvania, just outside the city of Brotherly Love. You may not know this, but many of the advancements in wool and leather clothing were developed right here in Windmore. We'll hear about our leather research later in the podcast. But for now, we're talking wool. And I promise not to make any bad father jokes about wool. Back to the yellowing of wool. This was a major problem for the industry because wool can yellow at any stage, even during processing. At the time, Brown and her team were developing enhancements to wool products, such as making them more fire resistant, and she used some of the same techniques to solve the yellowing issue.
We started on this back in the early 2000s. That's when transglutaminase became a big issue in terms of usage by a lot of different food industries. Transglutaminase is an enzyme which is produced mainly by fermentation, and it's used in the food industry to provide structure to foods. What it does is it catalyzes the formation of a bond between a glutamine on a protein or a peptide background and a primary amine. So it's good because it can hook a glutamine to a lysine and provide a stable bond that is not easily broken.
Basically, this process uses enzymes to bind food proteins together. It's a popular technique for processing cheeses, meats, edible films, even bakery products. Brown was curious if this binding process could also work with wool. Specifically, she wanted to attach para-aminobenzoic acid, or PABA, which was a common ingredient in sunscreens, to wool fibers. If PABA could protect human skin from the sun's harsh UV rays, that perhaps it could also protect wool fibers from the sun.
Since we knew that the wool tended to turn yellow when it was exposed to sunlight for a long time or heat, we wanted to see if we could protect it by attaching PABA. PABA is an amino acid structure type, so it had the appropriate functionality to be encouraged by the transglutaminase to react with glutamine on the protein. And of course, keratin being the main protein in wool, we wanted to see if we could attach that to the wool and protect it from yellowing when it was exposed to sunlight. And lo and behold, it worked.
The binding technology was so successful that the research center team used it in other projects to improve wool, including reducing itchiness. Why is wool itchy? Well, on the outside of wool fibers are cuticles, these scaly-looking things that provide a protective layer. Cuticles can make the wool surface bumpy and rough, which in turn can irritate human skin. For this technology, ARS researchers used enzymes to remove some of the cuticles from the keratin proteins.
That was to smooth out the surface of the wool so that it diminishes the itch factor. And because it's bound onto it, it's more stable to laundry so that it doesn't wash off and you don't get a lot of felting.
To put this new technique to the test, ARS researchers collaborated with the U.S. military to furnish soldiers with itch-free underwear. I mean, if you really want to test out a fabric, there's nothing like enlisting the military to give it a good run.
That was fairly successful in their test runs.
With several major accomplishments under their belt, ARS researchers in Windmore are currently looking at new projects to improve wool and expand its value in the marketplace. One project involves turning elements of wool that are discarded during processing into a composite. That composite is then woven in with the wool fibers to create new natural materials that are strong and durable and can be used for much more than clothing.
They could go into things like films for packaging of food, clothing, whatever. But by themselves, without some form of strengthening material, are too fragile. We're actually looking at both the wool and the collagen from leather to see if we can make something which gives them strength.
Stay tuned to learn more about our successful projects coming out of Widmore. And in the meantime, don't be sheepish when it comes to staying warm. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.